Okay, tonight we are actually going to learn the Maimer Hasheni in the Kuzari. Maimer Shlishi is much too, can I say much too deep for us, or maybe much too esoteric for us. Maimer Hasheni, which we didn't learn, we started from the Maimer Shlishi. Maimer Hasheni is known for the section which is shows a great deal of Ava for Eretz Yisrael. The author of the Kuzari, Yehuda Halevi, was known as a tremendous Ohev Eretz Yisrael. The poem Tziyan Haloi Tishali was authored by him, and legend is that he moved to Eretz Yisrael and, coming to the gates of the city of Yerushalayim, knelt down to kiss the land, and an Arab horseman ran him over, and he died there. Whether that's actually true or not, we don't know, but we know that his tremendous Abba for Eretz Yisrael, and that's probably the most famous part of Maimer Hasheni, although that's not the way the Maimer begins. You have to remember, we're going back now to the beginning of the story. So although we haven't dealt with the story in the Maimer Hashlishi and Maimer Haravi, the Maimer Hasheni does begin by telling us the story of the Kuzars. Earlier in the Maimer Harishon, we learn about the recurring dreams that the king of the Kuzars has, and the message he gets that your intentions are good, but your behavior is not. And here, in the beginning of Maimer Hasheni, a piece of the story of the Kuzar story is told. This took place in roughly the 8th century. Yehuda Levi is writing about it 400 years later, and he says the following. V'achrei kein, he says the story of the king of the Kuzars, as is recorded in the Kuzar history, is he revealed these dreams that he had to his general. And the dream that he had repeatedly, as we said, Ritzaincha is Merutza, your intentions are good. You need Masa Hanirtza, your actions are not. Eitzel Olekim Bahare Harson. He was told to go out, travel to the mountains in a certain area, and to see if he could find God out there. Velechtem Shnehem. And the two of them went, Hamelech Vesartzivai. He went out to the desert near the sea. I don't know which sea this is. And he arrived one evening to a cave. The Jews got together in that cave to observe the Shabbos. Now, why Jews were getting together in the cave to observe the Shabbos is a point of conjecture here in the Mefarshim. Either it was a time of oppression, that the either the Christian, or this was early Islam, oppressed the Jews for keeping Shabbos, that they went and did it out in the desert, or that these were people that practiced the Spaydidus. They were people who practiced Bedavka, went out on Shabbos to a quiet place out in the cave in the desert. Sounds like a nice thing to do, no? No, would you like to practice Shabbos that way and become close to God? No, they went out before Shabbos. They spent Shabbos out there. We'll have, instead of a Project Inspire Shabbos in a fancy hotel, we'll have it out in the caves of maybe the Qumran, and have to bring along nice beds and mattresses and maybe some chalent and kugel, but although that would ruin the whole effect. Mati can't do it because you don't make money on this. How much can you charge for people to go out to caves? Keep Shabbat, he'll charge, okay. Okay, we'll advertise. So they went out there to keep Shabbos, and now the king and his general stumble upon them. And they were taken by this. They were taken by what they saw. They were taken by it, they spent Shabbos and beyond with them. They learned about the existence of a Torah. And they were Megayer, obviously not on Shabbos, but eventually they had a bris milah with these Jews. And now they head back to their people, and their heart is to Judaism. Now you can't just walk in and tell the whole country we're Jews. So they hid their faith. Slowly, they revealed to the people around them of their newfound devotion and beliefs. Until slowly, more and more people knew about their secret. And they were able to convince the remainders of the people, the Khuzars, Vichnisum B'Torah Yehudim. And there was a large community, we're not exactly sure how large it is, but they converted to Judaism, the Khuzars. Veviu HaChachamim V'Hasfarim B'Kol HaRatzeis V'Lomdu HaTorah. And they brought their Jews, wise Jews, to teach Torah to the new Geirim, to this country of Geirim. These were warriors. The Khuzars conquered lands. And discovered treasures in the lands they conquered. And they grew until their army numbered in the hundreds of thousands. So we don't know if we're talking about millions, but we're certainly talking about hundreds of thousands of people. They had a love for Torah and a desire. Now there is no Beis Hamikdash. This is 700 years after the Churban, but the desire to the Beis Hamikdash was so great till they made like the Holy Land. The Holy Land Hotel has a model. So they made a model. They obviously stay within the bounds of halacha. If you stay within the bounds of halacha, you could. And they made a model Beis Hamikdash. Vayumachadin Ezrachi Yisrael, and they showed honor to guests, the visitors that came from Eretz Yisrael, those who lived in Eretz Yisrael. Umizbarchin Bahem Kasheniska B'Sifrayim. They looked to have blessings from them, as is written in the Khuzar's books. The Kashalomen Hamelech HaTaira. Sifrei HaNeviim. Not only did he learn Torah, he learned Nach too. Look at that. Lokach HaChavra HuLarav. So he found the man that we called the Chavra throughout this book to be his personal Rebbe. Vayishayloise Shailois Ivriyais. He would ask him questions about Judaism. Utchilas Mashashaloisei. And the first of his list of questions that we'll deal with in this parak was Al Hashemais Vahamidas Yimuchades Al Habayim Yisbarach. Regarding God's names, and that some of the names seem to give God physical properties. We talk about God's hand or foot. Such speech or such concepts are far from logical. And the Torah says God has no form. So these were the first questions that he asked the Chavar. This is not similar. We had in the fourth Maimer, the question of the difference between God's names, between Elohim and Adnus and Yudke Vavke. Here he's talking about something else. Now, just before we get to what he's talking about, this is the introduction to the story of the Khuzars. I believe I have a CD downstairs. I should bring it up and let everyone borrow it for a day or two. There was a fellow at one of the Hakel gatherings did a presentation on the historical evidence of the Khuzar nation, of this Khuzar nation that existed. It's a long time since I heard it, yeah. But was it Becher?
Australia or South Africa? Where is it from?
Okay. So I believe I have a copy of it, Destes. If I remember, I'll bring it up, and different people can borrow it at different times. It's a fascinating thing to listen to. Whether the discussion in this Sefer HaKhuzari is a word-for-word transcript of what took place 400 years earlier. Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi had a word-for-word Kabbalah, or whether this is more his elaboration on concepts that were discussed, is not known. The entire story here is something which at least some of the Gedolei HaRishayim, who lived close to that time, the Barbanel, understood to be true. And the Barbanel accepted the story here. Of the Khuzari. Becher, Rabbi Becher. Where Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi live? In Spain? Was he, Yeshua, do you know? He traveled. But he was a Spanish, he was a Sephardic Gadol. Apparently he had some sort of an access, if it's so. If I recall, the Ramban, he has a Maimer Torah Hashem Tamima, is Mesupik, is questions whether this is a line for line. He doesn't question the story of the Kuzars, but he questions whether what's reported in the Zebuzi is a line for line report of what happened, or Rabbi Yehuda Levi is imagining that discussion which took place. Either way, Rabbi Yehuda Levi's signature is on the Divrei Torah here, which this is really a book of Divrei Torah, whether it's based on factual evidence or on the imagination of a Gadol Yisrael who was a poet, we're not sure. Okay, we begin with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's names. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, by one count, 70 names. Now, those are not names. They're seven names, it says in Shulchan Aruch. God has seven names. There are other things. God is called Rachum Dechanon, Kel Nekabai Sashem. There are many different names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what the Chavar does here is groups those names. We're not talking about the Sheva Shema Shein and Mechakim. There are seven names of God that are holy names that we don't erase, which is the Shem Adnus, the Shem Havaya, Kael, and Elokai, Elokim, and Shakai and Svakos. Those are the seven names that we don't erase, we don't even speak out. The discussion is regarding the other names that we give Hashem, and then tonight we'll get later to the corporal names of Hashem that seem to give him a physical dimension. Well, let's see how he does it. He groups it here in a very nice way. Amar Achav. Shemais HaBayrei Kulam, Chutzmi HaMafurish. The other names of God, except for the Shem HaMafurish, HaMidais, V'Tavniyais Tfeilais, I'll translate that in a minute, L'Kachais MiHapu'ulais HaBruam Lai, those are names taken from God's actions, K'fi Gzei Raisav O'Maisav, according to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dictates and his actions. Now what does it mean, Midais and Tavniyais Tfeilais? He explains. Nikra Rachum. Now it seems to be a contradiction. You say about someone, he's a tough guy. You say about someone, he's a sweet guy. Not likely they're both true. Either he's sweet or he's tough. You say about Hashem, he's Rachum B'chanun, and he's Kel Nekama is Hashem. It seems to be a contradiction. See, he explains the first group, he had three groupings of names. The first grouping of names are names that describe Hashem's actions. He explains. Nikra Rachum, Kshumasakin Inyan, Mishaya Bnayad Barachum, Allah, the Raya Inyanai. He's called Rachum in something human beings would do to someone who's in bad shape. Miyasal Abayre Harachim in Vachanina. We call God merciful. Vamitosam Eslainu Chalish Sanefesh, Vamoyas Hateva. If we have mercy on someone, it's a weakness in us. It's we feel for the person. Einze Roila is Barach. God doesn't come from a weakness of nature. Aval Omnamu Shaifet Tzedek Geizer HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges Bereish Adam Echad Va'Eishir Adam Acher. Poverty to one person, wealth to another. B'lish Yishtanabatz Musay. No difference. It's not that God is a Kel Rachum to one and an angry God to another. And he gives an example. It's not that he's angry at him and have Zerchmanis on him. Let's say, let's say have an honest judge. So, when they ask him for a judgment and he judges, he says about one person, you win the din tyre. He says somebody else, you have to pay. The judge is not a nicer guy or a tougher person when he says you win the din Torah and you lose. It's one straight din of emes. The same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chel Hashem Yisbarach, Pam Yikarei Kel Rachum V'Chanun, Pam Yikarei Kel Kanei V'Noikein. So he's called merciful. Sometimes he's called the God who's kaviyachol jealous and takes revenge. Yisbarach, Einenu Mishtana, L'mida El Mida. God doesn't change. The klal is as follows. Now, again, what are we saying? That the names of Hashem are not atzmusai. If you call an elephant, that's what he is. He's an elephant. When you call God Rachum, it's not atzmusai's barak. It's not God. It's the behavior which he shows. shows a behavior of rachmanis, it shows a behavior of kaviyachol of anger. And that, those are the names. The klolei shodavar, habidais mischalkois, zulasi Hashem ha-mafarish, is barach, outside of the Shem of Hashem himself. The shloisha chalokim. Shetiyana maisiyais, either that which describes God's actions, racham v'chanon. Tfeiliyais, or their adjectives, their descriptions. You say God is baruch, is blessed, the source of blessing. Aishulilias. Shulilias is the major discussion. We'll see in a minute. First two are easy. Hamaisais, this nilkachais, the actions are taken by Hamaisim Abami Menu Betzvem Tsiyim Tivim. What Hashem does to people, Mayrishu Mashir, poverty and wealth, Mashbilach Meraimim, knocks one down, lifts one up, Rachum Mechanun, Kano Yenaikim, Gibar Nativ, Hadem and Lahem. It's easy. We describe God by his actions, that's group A. Hatfeliyais, those which are adjectives. K'may baruch, k'mavayrach, behula, kadesh, ram, v'nisa. L'kachais, mirayim, v'mayis, hamadabrim, lai. It's taken from the awe of those who talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'elohim rabbis, there are many such names. Enem chiyavis, lai riboi, v'loim yitziyasai, semiachtos. It doesn't change anything. Aval hashulilias. Now here, we don't live in a world where these things count for a lot. We live in a world where we want to know Mishnah Berurah. But there's a world in which difficulties are dealt with by great people about certain names of Hashem. Let's say, for example, you say God is Rishon, is the first. That's how he curses. The first implies that there's a second of equal stature, which is not true. So to say, Ani Rishayim, Ani Acharayim, it doesn't seem to make sense. He talks about saying God is Chai, God is alive. Somebody's only alive if it could be dead. Nobody says a rock is alive. So what does it mean that God is alive? These are Shema Shalilias. It's going to be a while till we get back to this because Thursday and for the following week, I have Sheva Brachas, Baruch Hashem for my daughter. We're not going to get together till a week from Thursday, Mrs. Hashem. However, I would like to just talk for a minute about the Shem Chai. You say, God is Chai Olamim. Sfardim say, Chai Olamim, right? So I say, Chai Olamim, we have the practice say, Chai Olamim. How do you translate Melechai Olamim? How do you translate that name? There are two ways to translate, and they're very different in, actually, if it's Chai Olamim or Chai Olamim. It's interesting that there were those who fought about it, waged war, heavy war over Chai Olamim or Chai Olamim. Or does it say Chai Olamim? Haderes v'amun, atzavemin, atzavemin, le. At the end of Yishtabach. Why do you say Chai Olamim if when you sing the song you say Chai Olamim? Huh? Make up your mind. So I'm reading from Rav Schwab. He says that there are two ways to pronounce it. Chai Olamim or Chai Olamim. He says the word Chai Olamim is Shehu Yisbarach HaChayim Shel Olamim. Say Chei Paroi, by the life of Paroi. Chei Olamim is that God is, I would say, the life giver of the world. That's the translation. Melech Kael Chei Olamim. God is the one who is the life giver of the world. Of the worlds, okay. Sherish Achia Shokol Olamim. Sheev Shal Shumitzias Liskayim Blichiusem Yakadish Baruch. Chei Olamim means that God is the life giver to the world. Very different meanings. Chai Olamim means God is eternal. Chai Olamim means God gives life to the world. Koloshan Akosov, Ani Adati Goyale Chai. Paskin Iyav, which now we're not so familiar with. So he brings that two translations, totally different meanings. Chai Olamim means God lives forever, it's praise. Chai Olamim means that God is the life giver to the world. Olamim, if it's Chai, Olamim means the world of worlds. If it's Chai Olamim, then it means eternity. Olamim means eternal, it means time rather than space. So what do you always say when you say Chayalim? Which one, which Taich do you think of? El Kael, Chayalim. What?
Gives power.
Gives life. Gives life to the world. Chay, Chay is the power. But, right, this is a difference in translation. What? I mean, it fits well into Yishtabach. Mullah batishbachais. By Kalam Asim. Abaychebi Shirei Zimra. I don't know. It's very hard. I'll tell you what Reb Zalman Hena writes. In the Siddur, in Reb Israel Siddur, there was a Siddur put out, around the year 1700, which, was supposed to be the Siddur that decided all differences in Siddurim. He wrote Chai Olamim. It bothered everything in the Siddur. We try to find the Nach. We try to find it somewhere. Every expression, they didn't make up their own expressions. They took it. Rabbi Israel writes in the Siddur Chai Olamim Hu Bitui Chadash. It's a new expression. It's not in Tanakh. That's what he says. Zalman Hena, who was a genius, he was 22 years old when he printed his third sefer against Rabbi Israel. So I don't know if he was 19 or 20 when he wrote this. He said, the guy doesn't know Tanakh. He keeps on writing, Bitu Chadosh. He says, no, the word is Chei Olamim, like Chei Paroi. And that's not Chei Olamim at all. It's Chei Olamim, and this explanation of Chei Olamim. Yaakov Emdin saw fit to write about this in three different places. And it's Chei Olamim, Chei Olamim. Like, do we really care all that much? It's interesting, you know, but these people fought about it. They got angry. They called each other names. Over Chai Olamim, Chai Olamim. We wouldn't call anybody a name over it. Yagamin has a tshuva in the Maruk Tziyah, I think it's Kufmim Aleph. And even in Pathways of the Prophets, I bring down this machlokes without a long elaboration. But, we're gonna get back in about 9 days to this, but, God willing. But this is, it's down to the halachal ma'isitika world. We say Chai Olamim, Chai Olamim. We say l'chay olamim to the one who lives forever. But in davening, it may well be l'chay olamim to the one who gives life to the world. Now, so you remember for me, we're up to the Shemes Hashluliyais, which I hope to be able to explain for the next time we get together.